Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concern, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which means inclusion into society, which means living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, welcome to our listening audience. This is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13, on 4th of July, a big firecracker, which we call in the DMV a cherry bomb, exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, I am great, but I'm on the hunt for good fruitcake.
Good fruitcake. Well, it is Thanksgiving, and it's the holiday season. And although with all things since March the 13th of all days, 2020, life has been different. It has been different indeed. But I can say this about the gentleman that right now resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that after January the 20th, he won't be. He has brought an awareness to not only to the United States, but to the world of what a leader should be and what a leader shouldn't be. And hopefully, at least in our black community, some folks have woken up and realized that it's got to be about what we do to make a change, not about us asking other people to do to make a change. So Miss Renee, when the last time you, been to a council meeting, a public, discussion or something about your community?
Well, you know, Reverend Ray, that's a really good question. It has been a while since I've been to a council meeting, but I do know that politically where things get done is on the local level. I know that I've been involved with getting a streetlight at a crossing for school children. I have been involved in other kind of local efforts to mobilize people. So I understand the importance of that. And I think that, you know, people always said government happens, local government happens over there and it doesn't affect them. But when you start talking about transportation, right now we have food insecurity. All of these things matter who is making decisions for us on the local level, on the state level, and the national level. And sometimes it just feels overwhelming to try to figure it all out. But it's necessary, and it's necessary for community people to get involved. And if you're not sure where to start, you know, our show is specifically Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. There are any number of organizations that are out there that advocate on the part of seniors. So the question is valid, and the answer is everybody has to do their part.
And, you know, I used to always hear this when I was a kid and growing up, and I didn't understand until I actually got in my 60s and then my 70s and being in the political arena, the golden rule. And the golden rule is who has the gold, they rule. And if you're not at the table making the decision, then you're part of the problem and not part of the solution. So with that, Ms. Renee, I'll jump off my soapbox and ask you to give us the rundown of the show today.
Okay, well, we usually begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, his seeing eye guide dog. And then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly news, which affects the disability and senior communities. And not to be to take his admonition at the beginning to heart, he challenges us at the end of the show in his call to action. Our special guest today is, what is art? And if it is free, is it still art? Our guest, Shamar Higgs, who honchos Free Art for All, will be our guest for the hour. And he'll tell us about Free Art for All. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty, because I know if you're a person, what they say, a rounded person is a person that has some, other than all these other academic skills, they got to have some sports that they participate in. They got to have art they participate in. They got to have music. And I know, you know, art make you seem very refined, very cultured. So I'm looking forward to getting some of that today. So I'm looking forward to talking to our guest.
I don't know if we can do a 160-minute show.
Well, Ms. Renee, we'll discuss that in staff meeting. Okay, so the adventures of, you know, I like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd, seeing our dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonder, and is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf. And the Wolf is WOOF Pet Store. And please go to their website. It's thebigbadwolf.com. And please call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And tell the proprietor or somebody up there answering that phone that you heard about it from Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. They was our first sponsor, and they still our major, and have been supporting us since we've been doing the radio show. So tell Miss Penny, that's the proprietor, that you heard it from Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, and that's Pet Store supplies all my guide dog food. And Miss Raven just loves, and they have top chef food. I mean, they don't have this Jive Time stuff, top chef. So please check them out. And they do deliver. They were doing free delivering before we had this pandemic set in, but they will deliver. So that's thebigbadwolf.com. And that wolf is W-O-O-F-F, wolf, wolf. Now, Mr. Ray don't have no whole lot of adventures, Reverend Ray, because Reverend Ray, one of those persons that got that underlying medical situation. You know, Mr. Ray's a black man, so he got some of this, taking blood pressure medicine, taking a diabetes medicine. But it ain't bad. But so Mr. Ray got to be careful back there, and he wear his mask when he do. But he do take Miss Raven out. And also, since we don't have no interesting adventures right now, Mr. Ray have to give you some suggestions or information or tip. And information today is they just came out with some regulations on guide dogs and service animals being on the airline. And, you know, the guide dogs got lumped in with these all these other service animals, okay, and it became a problem. And the guide dogs are trained and certified. So the airlines have become, after wrestling with this, they have separated the guide dogs out from the pet snakes and the pet, you know, all these other pet pigs and everything and stuff like that. So when someone comes on an airline now with an emotional animal, there are certain regulations that they have to fill out forms and all of this and certain requirements and stuff. But now the guide dogs, they know that they have already been trained and all, and they have the harness on and they have the ID, so they don't have the hassle anymore like they have started experiencing here lately. So you can check that out by just, you know, going on any airline's website and you'll see those regulations. And we really appreciate American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind Guide Dog Divisions for really, really working on that, because there, believe it or not, there is a lot of blind individuals that have service dogs that travel. And Reverend Ray used to travel all over the country for a couple of years, so I know how important that is, not to have that hassle, you know, with your guide dog getting on the plane and where it's sit at and all of this kind of stuff. So we really want to thank those two national organizations for the blind and others working on those regulations with the airport. All right, so again, that was brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And that wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf Wolf. So go to the website and check it out. So back over to you, Ms. Renee.
Well, we want to introduce our guest. And the question is, what is art? And if it is free, is it still art? Our guest is Shamar Higgs, who will tell us about Free Art for All.
Good morning,
hello,
how you doing?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for having
me. All right. We appreciate it. But now let me give you this. I always make this disclaimer. Is that the first time you come, we treat you like guests, we open the door up, we take your coat off, we hang it up for you, we point over to that best chair that usually Reverend Ray's nice chair. And you know, we get you, you know, a drink or beverage or something. We go get it for you, put it on the tray. Miss Renee bring it to you with a napkin and all of that. But after the first time, second time on, Mr. Shamar, you get your own water. You don't get to sit in with Reverend Ray Chi anymore. So we treat you like family. But welcome, welcome, welcome. We'll try to be gentle with you today. But we like that on this show. We like on this show to let people go away from this show with people even doing three things or all three. One, they get information, they get inspiration, and God knows they get entertained. Okay, So Shamar, just tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, was you dropped here from an alien, or did you come out of patch or stock job? How did you end up showing up here?
Yeah, I tend to question that sometimes myself. But pretty much I grew up here in Prince George's County. In Clinton, Maryland. So yeah, I've always been involved with community, like advocacy and getting involved with community projects and stuff like that. From the project that I did in the Kafka Regional Skateboard Park in Clinton, Maryland. So yeah, that was like a really big project. But other than that, I have the space. I'm the executive director and founder of the space Free Art for All, and we are a free art and maker space inside of Beltway Plaza Mall in Greenbelt, Maryland, where anyone and everyone during regular times, you know, you can drop in and just come and create from painting, sewing, knitting, crochet, tatting, and almost anything that you can think of, you know, like it has to do with like creating with your hands. You can come in and make it.
Let me ask you a question just before we go into that. Now, Shamar is an unusual name. Is there a story behind it?
From my understanding, my grandmother, her name is Sharma, and so, you know, to kind of keep peace, Shamar became of that. And then my mother, she was also a fan of She was also a fan of Shamar Moore. So my name's Shamar, and then my middle name is like, you know, it's common, but it also it's spelled a little different. So yeah, it's my mother is very creative, I can say.
So is that where you got your creativity?
Oh yeah, oh it's in the blood all the way. Like yeah.
That's what I want to ask, because you sound like a young man. And what would make you get interested in art? Like just as a young man with everybody else and so. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been creating ever since I can remember. If I wasn't creating, I was like taking stuff apart. I remember that I was like always been very curious of things. Creating was always just like a refuge, like a kind of like meditation before I even knew what meditation was. That was my like safety place. I'm in my 30s at this point, you know. I'm 33. I just turned 33.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Now,
you mean this month or last month?
Well, it was in October.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, yep. Belated happy birthday. Was it on Halloween? No, I'm just kidding.
Halloween is a great birthday, but I have to say 10/10 is the best day that, you know, in ever. So that's my birthday.
That is a good birthday number, 10/10. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
10/10 in 2020.
Yep, that's it.
Wow.
Now
I'll play that number. Go ahead, Miss Rebecca.
let me know. Let me know. I have ownership of that date.
Right. Hey, we can fund free art for all. Okay.
Okay.
Now explain to those of us who haven't visited the venue yet what exactly is free art for all, and what was the vision behind it. Wait a minute. I'm going to have you answered on the other side of the break. I'm so interested in what you're saying. I'm engineering. I forgot to engineer. Okay. You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio, heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're just joining us, we are here with our guest, Shamar. And if the question is, if art is, what is art? And if it is free, is it still art? Shamar Higgs is head of Free Art for All. And he is about to tell us now what is Free Art for All and what was the vision behind it. So go ahead, Shamar.
Yeah. So again, Free Art for All. I'll kind of go over what was during regular time again, before COVID. It was a little makerspace. We had, from the community largely, but we have a few sponsors that have helped us out along the way. But you can just literally drop in anything that you wanted to create. Like we had a motto that's, you know, like, if you can dream it, you can make it at the space. Because that's literally, that was the idea, that art supplies are kind of expensive and everyone doesn't have access to it. So why not, you know, provide access and opportunity for all people so that they can learn these skills to possibly start their own, like, business venture, or just to, you know, like, for their own, you know, like, mental health or well-being.
Use a term that is common, but I don't think everybody understands. What is makerspace?
Makerspace? It's a center where you can literally go in and create, like, their tools, there's the technology that, you know, like, literally all the supplies and things that you need are there. So it's a space where you can go in and, just as the name says, you can go in and make things. And you know, yeah.
Now, what age are you talking about, Shamar, that could do this?
Originally, we were like, it was, you know, the idea of giving teenagers something to do, because I would see teenagers, or, you know, just sitting around the mall or hanging out within the community, and, you know, like, why not teach them and train them to, you know, these skills that can, like, again, start them their own business. But then it actually became more for, like, seniors and adults to come in and find a place, because, you know, seniors typically have these skills but they don't have anywhere to share them or have community to share them with. So it became a place for people to come in and actually just have communicate, you know, like, yeah, just have communication with one another, asking lots of questions. I could only imagine recently I was having conversation about how, you know, like learning technology, you know, like not growing up with it, you know, like being just dropped with this technology in your hand. How do you navigate that? So we have senior citizens that, or I don't even call them seniors. We have, you know, guests and family members who come in and, you know, they want to learn how to use their, you know, like use their cell phone or how to like set up an email account. So we actually help them with that kind of thing too. So it was set up with the idea that it was like a one-stop shop. Like I remember growing up with like the military, they had, my mother's a disabled veteran. So like we would have a phone number you can call on the military base for any question that you had. And then when I aged out and became, you know, full on civilian, that there was nothing like that. There wasn't a place that you can go in, or a person that you can go to and ask a question. So that was kind of the purpose. That was kind of the idea also behind SPACE, which actually stands for Sharing Positive Artistic and Creative Energy. I wanted to create a place where people can come in and literally, if they have a question, we can find the answer for them and provide, you know, the resources and things that they need. Along the way, we've helped people from, you know, finding food to finding homeless shelters also. There was a woman who came in, she didn't speak, you know, any English. And, you know, through technology, we were able to figure it out, found her, you know, a place for her to go. So, yeah, it's just literally, you know, we're open arms. You know, sometimes individuals just need something or need someone to, like, you know, listen to them for a moment. And how the space was started, I've always had to make a creating space since I was middle school, I can remember. I turned my mother's basement into an art space growing up. And then it was just open to the community. We always had like friends that would come over, like the community kids would always come to our house because we had like all the technologies and stuff. And so in high school, I converted the garage into a painting, ceramic, photography, and like gardening space, and just would have the doors open because when we had a kiln and everything, when we have the garage, we would have the kiln going, it would be so hot from the kiln that we would have the garage door open. And then people would drive by wondering what was happening. And then after a while, you know, individuals from the community would just stop by and just learn skills, especially like the community kids would come by. Like they were really interested in ceramics because, especially I'm sure because of the kiln. Word got around about what I was doing. And then there's an organization in DC called Pink Line Project. And they heard about what I was doing and invited me over. And as they say, the rest is history. I've done several like pop-up shops in DC, like, since 2007, 2008. If I'm not mistaken, it was the first pop-up shop in D.C. That I was a part of called Home during D.C. Week. Yeah, it's providing space for people is very, again, people are at home. They may not live in comfortable housing situations or they may not have space at home to do the kind of thing. Why not go somewhere else and mess up, you know?
But Shay, what you said about calling, picking up the phone and calling someplace and get an answer, you know, we had that here in the DMV too, but it just called lawyers and it cost $300 an hour. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Day, go ahead and ask the next question.
I'm taking you back to your roots, but you use the term pop-up, and, you know, some of us, you know, it's a pop culture term, and some of us aren't as hip and happening. What is a pop-up?
Thank you. Yeah. A pop-up? It kind of started out with the idea of vacant spaces or even, like, newer spaces that you want to, like, show off to the community. You would set up little shops. You would set up like, you know, movie. You would have temporary installations. Essentially, is what they are. The temporary installations within like vacant or new spaces. And like I said, the first one that I was involved with, it was pretty much the show like the new an area that they were like gentrifying, basically, in areas mm-hmm. that they renovated, you know, created some new buildings, and they wanted to show the buildings and things like that, and show the community. So yeah, like the pop-up shops are a way just to, and I think that their best use is when they are set inside of convenient space in vacant spaces, and that's literally what the space, the space for art for all, that's what it was actually started out as. I saw vacant spaces inside of the mall, and so I literally called. I called the quantum companies, and they, you know, after got some conversation and, you know, like some paperwork and stuff, you know, like send over a proposal. Because I saw these kind of things. I spent some time in 2015 traveling, and I saw specifically in Southeast Asia how like art was just part of culture, part of the community. And mm-hmm. specifically in Bangkok, Thailand, there's a place called the Bangkok Arts and Culture Center, which is like the most beautiful place I've ever visited. And it was kind of like what you would think of like a shopping mall, but it was more of like, from the outside, it's kind of like a museum mixed with like a shopping mall. They had like cafes and art shops, and even like you can go in and learn how to do like metalwork. You can make your own rings and pendants, or, you know, like a graffiti shop, or there's just different like artists and craftspersons.
So you travel to Asia, you said?
Yeah, I love Southeast Asia. It's yes, I have. Oh. I've gone COVID, 2008. Yes, COVID kind of messed up my flow, but I was on a cycle for a while. But yeah,
cycle. You've been gone more than one time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, wait, but you say absolutely like that's just a bad thing. You know how many black people been to Asia? And that's your age? I mean, what made you want to go to Asia, though? Was it to see art, or you just happened to be there for something else, or what?
There were a lot of things. It's the kind of the universe kind of aligned that, because I remember in elementary school, there was a substitute teacher that was always around for many years. And she would always say that, you know, on the other side of the world, there are people that look like you. And I remember that. And that was from like early elementary school. And then, you know, like outside of Africa, you know, she was like, you know, outside of Africa, on the other side of the world, there are people that look like you. And I always remember that. So, I was like, you know, learning about like other religions, so like learning about Buddhism really heavily, and then came across like Cambodia, was like, you know, learning about like the genocide and stuff that happened there, and like those people look like us, you know, like they, mm-hmm. you know, they look mm-hmm. like family members in a lot of ways.
So,
you know? Like,
so would you? So did you get sponsored? You just saved up money and just went there? I mean, you're not talking about nothing cheap. I mean, it's not like a happy meal that you got and, you know, jumped on the Chinese bus and went over there. I mean,
so 1 year I did take the Chinese air bus and got over there. it's relatively inexpensive to travel to Thailand. Yeah, you can get there. The like cheapest year I went, it was $602. To go there round trip, and that's when I flew the Chinese Airbus that year, and then, yeah. So it's very, you know, like people, they travel in America, and you know, I see the prices of American travel, and I've always refused. Like, I'm not traveling in America because there's so much more out there, and I love history, and there's so much history, especially when it comes to the arts. And, you know, in these countries that have been around longer than the American Empire, you know.
Exactly.
I'm sure you bring some type of what you call back with you, souvenir or something when you go to these different places, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure you you know, Renee, you know, she see me in my scarves. So my scarves are a thing that I bring back every time, and then also. I have this little sheep. Well, the sheep didn't come from the travels, but yeah, there are a couple of things that I keep with me from my travels.
That is very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I, well,
Hey, Shema, it's more to you than it look like, man. It's more to you.
it's like an onion, you know?
We get one of these,
and that's been my philosophy. We get one try at this, you know, as from what they know, you know, as this, in this form, we get one try. So
okay,
I try my best.
Break. We're going to come back. We're at the break. You listen to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. When you hear that music, you know Mr. Ray got to go in his pocket and pay some bills to somebody. So we have a very interesting guest today that's talking about art. And Reverend Ray is going to cut his slice out. And after this show, he's going to be much more urbane or culture, refined, and some other stuff.
I don't think we can do that in one show, Reverend.
So we are going to bump out, and we're going to take a station break, and we will be back with you on the other side.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We're heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray and our guest. So if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, does that mean art is too? We'll find out.
All right, we're going to be back with our guest in a moment. But, you know, during this time of the show, we go to the segment called the In the News, the Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Issues That Affect Persons with Disability and Seniors, and that is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on and the pain is gone. Well, the good thing is that you hear about the viruses everybody know about the virus, that's for sure. But you also know is that now we got a couple of sort of approved vaccines, and they're going to, toward the middle, I think, December 15th, they're going to start rolling them out to the different states, and they're going to be rolling them out, as they said, about probably 40 million doses. But, you know, each person got to get two doses. For people with disabilities, someone was saying, Reverend Ray, I don't quite understand that. Well, what it is, they give you a dose that's a less dose the first time to make sure your body adjust itself to this next dose that they're going to give you. They can't give you this dose all in one, and that's why they do it with a shingle dose. They give you two doses because they have to let your body know, wake it up and say, hey, okay, this is what's coming in here. And so another month or so you get that, but now the flu shot, that's something different. So they have not gotten this. The virus has a different type of makeup. So right now they don't know if they can have a drug powerful enough to give you just one shot. And from what I'm understanding is that they're not sure how long that these first two shots are going to last. So this is just a whole new different thing. But the point I'm getting to about the good is that in that second round, where the first round is going to be our first responders is going to get it. Those are people that's serving your people that are not doing right in the hospitals and stuff like that. And the second is going to be the high that we have in depths and all in the different facilities and all that. But part of that is also going to be some persons with disability. They're going to lump them in there as well. So they're going to be persons with disabilities that are also going to be in the second wave of receiving those shots. And how they're going to do that, Reverend Ray, haven't found out or heard yet. But soon I do, I will let you know which category of people with disability are going to get that. A lot of people that's in my category blind and say, well, you know, we're going to get it. And so I don't know about that. But anyway, so I will let you know. Now, the bad is, and this is specifically for the DMV, that's the District of Columbia, Virginia, and Maryland. The Ramada system has went out and purchased, well, I understand we don't have, well, yeah, they went out and purchased 177 cars, sedans. Now, they supposed to be really disability friendly, but I understand that there's some people really complaining that as far as wheelchairs being able to be accommodated for the people to get in the front or get in the back, it ain't working out too well, and it's just, I don't know, they're supposed to have this door that open at a different angle or something like that, and the head clearance is not what they want, so I don't know. So they're going to have some discussions, but you can go on Ramada's website, and it gives you the meeting times that they have, the Zoom information and all, you can call in on, and they meet every Monday anywhere from 4:30 to 7. And so go on, and especially this Monday coming, the 7th, December, it's important that you listen to it. And we understand the new vans, because, you know, these last two rounds of vans was killing people. They were too small, and they were too short. People were banging their head and getting a second disability getting on there. And so they're supposed to be coming up with a new type of van, and this time it's supposed to be input from the disability people that serve on these different advisory boards, their input. So we're going to see what that new animal look like when that van come out. But so I say that's bad and good. So anyway, unfortunately, the ugly is still, until they get the virus not under control but able to cope with it, with the vaccines, people with disability, because when you old, as seniors, the older you get, you become a person with a disability, because all of a sudden now you can't reach as far, you can't see as good, you can't jump around like you used to, so you fall right into disability. And unfortunately, those are the people that's dying in these nursing homes because they're so close together and all. So hopefully, you know, I don't know, probably it's going to take a year, so at least they tell me April, June before they can serve the number of people that will control the virus to a degree, because you have to have at least 70% to 75% of the country have the vaccine. And then you figure if we got over 330 or 350 million people, whoever you're talking to, that means we got to have at least 220 million people given this vaccine. And don't forget, you don't get it in one dose, you get it in two. So therefore, you got 420 million doses got to be rolled out. And if they could only roll out I don't know if they're going to kick up the production, but if they only rolling out 40 million this one time around, so, you know, 40 million times 10, that's 400 million right there. So that's 10 months. That's almost a year. So anyway, figure. But as our new president-elect says, Mr. Joe Biden, and I like to call him Uncle Joe, not Sleepy Joe, but Uncle Joe, he makes us feel comfortable. As he said, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So just remember that, folks. So that does it for the end of news, and that's, again, is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Back to you, Ms. Renee, and give us a proper, informal introduction once again to our guest.
Well, again, our guest is Shamar Higgs. He is the executive director of Free Art for All. And he is, and if, whenever, what more of a time do we need art than in this time of COVID that sort of feels like a cloud hanging over us? But Shamar, you mentioned visual art, fiber art, cinema as art, etc. What do you say to a person who wanders in to Free Art for All and says, "But I'm not artsy. I'm not an artsy person." How do you encourage them to explore art?
Well, I start with coloring pages, just, you know, or during regular times, I would give them coloring books. And just, you know, we would have like a notebook that would have pages that we would print out. But, yeah, just having a moment with yourself, and after a while of them sitting down with, you know, like coloring, they realize that how relaxed they are after that. So that usually starts the process. And then after that, they, you know, they're hooked and want to try more.
then Shamar, my mother and parents, then they didn't understand me then. When I started coloring on the walls and stuff, they missed it.
Exactly. You could have been the next Pablo Picasso or something, you know? Well, and during these COVID times, though, you can stop by the space and you can pick up art kits. So we still have coloring pages that we put together. And then also we have different themed events, or excuse me, different themed kits that we put together every month based on either art, tech, or wellness. And it's free for anyone to come by, pick it up, just say hi, and then we'll hand it to you, you know, during social distancing. Yeah.
Now, how many hours a day, how many days are you open? And do you have a staff that helps you bring beauty into the world this way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We have an amazing, amazing volunteer staff. Everyone with the space, we all volunteer. We have an amazing staff of Miss Carmen and Sadabu Kaba, Brother Kaba. But they've been holding down the space for us. We're open every day except for Sunday and Monday. So we're open Tuesday through Saturday. During the week, our hours are 3 to 7, and then on Saturday we're open from 1 to 7. And then you can find out more about us at our website, freeartforall.org. And on Facebook, we are The Space Free Art for All, the whole name. And then also on Instagram, we are The Space Free Art for All as well. But, yeah, you can just literally call us. Again, you know, that having that phone number, you can reach out to someone. Phone number is on Facebook. Phone number is on Instagram. Phone number is on the website. You can literally call us. And someone will answer, and we'll, if you're looking for certain art supplies, we can definitely do. If you need yarn, especially if you would like to learn to make rugs, or if you know how to make rugs and you want supplies for looming, for rug making, for tatting, for crocheting, knitting, any of those things, especially, we have so many supplies. We are excited to get rid of it.
Okay.
To share it with the community.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Now, a question. Now, I know on your website y'all have a donation button, but in terms of people donating material stuff, do you all also take that or encourage that as well?
Absolutely. That's largely how we survive. That we really appreciate everyone that, you know, like, loves art so much they buy extra supplies, you know, and then forget they have them in their closets. Because that's how we survive at the space. If you want to make donations, just, again, give us a call, send us an email, text message, Facebook message, Instagram message, and we're, as long as our hours are open. For books, we have a community bookshelf that has been a huge hit. Literally, we have put out thousands of books back into the community, and that's 100% from the community members. And of all ages, all genres, you would be surprised with some of the books that show up there.
Wait a minute. You're saying that a citizen can just come in and pick a book up, or purchase a book, or a free book, or what?
No. You don't have to purchase anything. You literally come into they are aligned along the walls inside of the mall, outside of our space, outside of our shop. So you literally can walk into the mall, walk up to the bookshelves, and literally browse through. Right now, there are at least about 1,000 books out there right now that you can go through.
Wow.
And just to, yeah, and you know, whatever, anything that you want. Pick up the books. There are some. We just received another donation of board games and card games, cell phone cases. Yeah, like all kinds of things that, you know, people, instead of giving it to the thrift store, because they, you know, the community members realize that the thrift stores, you know, they're selling the items, but
we
just put them right back into the community.
Okay, that's the music. Reverend Ray got to pay another bill. So you're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Ray Razor, and we have very special guests telling us about art. And Ms. Renee keep on telling me that for me to become urbane, cultured, worldly, well, I'm already worldly, but the other refined things, that is going to take more than one session. But we still going to come back on the other side of the break, and as I bump out and we bump back in with our very special guest, Ms. Renee.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, our guest is Shamar Higgs, who is telling us about Free Art for All. His role as a in the community, as a community activist, and helping us see beauty in lots of different forms. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty, thank you. Well, Mr. Shamar, let me ask you this before you get away from us. What, right, at this point is your goal? I mean, if you could just say, you know, that you could just walk into, and not necessarily, I know right now you're located in the Beltway Mall, but what is your idea of walking into what kind of establishment and looking around and say, this is my vision, this is where I have arrived. And I mean, I know it's a work when you're dealing with art, it's a revolving, organic type of, you know, because art moves and moves and moves and moves. But
this is life.
Is there a place? Is there a place like that for you?
I've experienced many versions of that, but I haven't found the one yet.
Okay.
So perfect world for the space. The space as an international program, which is kind of what it originally was written as, would be a perfect world situation, because I really do understand and I know that my experience of traveling internationally has done so much for me as an individual, as a human being, to my spirit, that it would not have, it did not, you know, nothing was close that I've experienced here in America that changed me and shifted things so drastically as my experience of traveling overseas. So I would love to provide that same kind of experience to individuals that don't have that opportunity, because you know, many people don't, like as you mentioned, many of our people from our community, you know, from the Black community specifically, don't get a chance to get out of their own zip code or their own block.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, better yet, like
right,
going out of the country. So perfect world would be an opportunity to allow especially artists and creative persons the opportunity to see how creativity is shared in other cultures. And even seeing what, you know, like surviving and poverty, especially, that was the biggest thing that changed perspective. But to seeing what seeing what life looks like outside of, again, like the Disneyland of America.
Exactly. I want to ask you a question. Do you have any favorite stories from your community activism work life that you can share with us?
There are lots of them, but specifically, for my favorite, one of the volunteers that has also like changed a lot for myself and changed a lot for the organization. She started out coming there, and I share this story because she would speak about this a lot, but she started coming there because she took her granddaughter to the movies, and you know, as a way just to get out of the house. And she saw the space because of like all of the artwork that was hanging and all the paint. Again, you can go on the website and there are pictures on there. But, you know, just to see, she was attracted to the space basically. And she walked in after a while, after a few times of going to the movies. And when I say she sat down, like you said, you know, Reverend Ray, when you, in your favorite chair, she sat in my favorite chair and pretty much never, like, never left.
That's why you only let him sit in there one time.
I know. I should have let her one time and you out of here. But you know, but she became a very, she became literally like a staple of the space. To this day, someone that has done so much for the organization, has done so much for others within the community, that, and I know for herself that it's changed and so much has grown within her, that because, and she said this herself, that it's provided her community, it's provided her purpose, and provided, you know, just to share all this knowledge. Again, you have all of these skills, but yet you're keeping it to yourself. You know, my grandfather used to tell me these Bible verses, you know, that you can't keep your talent to yourself, you know?
Absolutely. Because, you know, because early on when you first started talking, you were talking about fiber art. You were saying knitting, crocheting, and tatting. And when you said it, I didn't even make the connection with a fiber art. I thought, he's teaching them to tattoo people? I thought, oh, this is really... But I had forgotten about tatting. I know.
Tatting.
But I forgot about tatting.
I learned about tatting from the space, honestly. It's such a beautiful and delicate skill that I had to frame some of the pieces and hang it up in the, you know, on the wall, because it's something that, again, like if we don't continue or even like show what this is, it's going to be something that's just lost and, you know, and gone. And that's what also like got me into quilting, because it's you know, like sharing this information that has so much history.
You know, my great-grandmother was a quilter, and so I have a few pieces around here. None, unfortunately, that survived her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But, you know, we have lost so many of the arts. We haven't passed them down. Quilting, tatting, knitting, crocheting. All my family did all those things. I can't do any of them. Well, none that I would put out for anybody to see besides myself. But it is very calming. It is. It's very calming. And, you know, I just yesterday called a friend of mine and said, can you make a crochet blanket for my third cousin that's about to be born? And she and I started crocheting at the same time. Something was a disconnect, but nonetheless, even though my work might not be a high quality, it is relaxing, and I'm proud of when I get it. I get a piece completed. I really
Absolutely.
Am. Reverend Ray, you want to jump in there and ask? Go ahead, Shamar, answer that.
I quickly just wanted to throw in another one of the guests, visitors of the space, who's a regular, had said, like, when he came in and made a pillow, he said, that was the first thing that I've ever made outside of my kids. He said, thank you.
Wow.
You know, thank you so much for allowing me that opportunity, you know?
And, you know, one of the things we didn't explore is gender. How many men or boys or males are attracted to the art space? Because, you know, sometimes as a culture, we don't encourage males to pursue
men,
art.
Yeah.
Music is okay.
Yeah.
But nothing else.
Well, yeah, and so we surprisingly, it's a lot of men. Well, not surprisingly, but we do get a lot of males. Is that especially for illustration? There are a lot of males that are like into, you know, anime was a really big push, and that's I think with like the millennials and Gen Xers or Gen Zers, that's who they are. Millennials and Gen Zers. I really do. I see that things are really different in a lot of the thought processes and things, like the like cultural and social norms are shifted greatly, I think, in within those groups. So, yeah, you're seeing a lot more like men involved in things that to us, you know, just like it doesn't make any sense why men are not allowed, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We're pushing up against the break, but I just wanted Shamar to give us the websites and the Facebook contact, and then Rev, I want you to close us out with the final questions. Uh huh.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah.
All
go
right.
Ahead.
See, I can drop in with the website and stuff. So our website, mm-hmm. it's freeartforall.org, .org, and hey, you can find all of the information about us on there. And then also we have our, you were talking about the travel and stuff. That website for that is sedc.seasia.us, which is basically like Southeast DC to Southeast Asia. So yeah, that's where you can find us there or find my information on there. Then also Facebook. Facebook is the space Free Art for All. And then on Instagram is also the space Free Art for All.
And your phone number?
Phone number. So we have two of them. It's 240-240-24. Actually comes directly to my phone, so please be respectful and don't blow me up. But the number to the shop is actually 240-297-9171. Again, that's 240-297-9171, and that takes you directly to the shop during hours. Someone will be there to answer that for you.
Okay, so my last question, and just to let you know that these shows are posted on our website, so people can go and
cool.
listen to the show, which many of them do. But in turn, Ms. Renee asked you about gender. I'm going to ask you about culture and race. Do you find African-American or black people in the culture as much as other races or other cultures?
In art?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, through the space, especially when they see that it's run by black people, they get even more excited. When they see, like, the artwork and stuff that's in there, like, we have, like, Kensei, like, African fabrics and, like, Aunt Jemima bottles and things that, like, you know, from Black Americana.
Aunt Jemima bottles.
Yeah, the glass Aunt Jemima bottles. Yeah, I collect Black Americana like artwork.
Do y'all have the Uncle Ben buckets? No, I'm just kidding.
I have some the cream of wheat. I have a couple of cream of wheat buckets.
Really?
I really enjoy the Black Americana kind of artwork. And just like the representation of black people throughout the entertainment.
Okay.
Right,
well, thank
right,
you, Shamar.
Right.
We're going to close out. But thank you very much for being a good guest. We really enjoyed it, and it has been fun, and I hope you found it interesting, if not fun.
Oh, it's been
but
it's
interesting.
My pleasure. This is amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And like I said, this won't be the last time. But thank you very much, and you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and we look to visit there. And I know Ms. Renee going to do a written article on your shop. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well,
thank
absolutely.
You. Okay.
Stop on by.
Okay.
We have a special package for you. Stop on by.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Well,
come back.
All right.
Well, our time is up, and I just want to say, in terms of our call to action, real quick, people, please get involved. I mean, you know, places like make a space like that, and people just need to be creative and get out and enjoy themselves and all. And so, Reverend Ray, encourage you to do that. But I'll say my time is up. I thank you for your time, and until the next time, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at snvradioshow@gmail.com. That's the letters snvradioshow@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-377-6468. 301-377-6468. Want to listen to a past show? Type in the address bar, disabilityoneradio.com. That's disability and the number one.com. In the address bar, the upper left. You're not sure where that is? Ask a millennial. They'll show you. Anyway, we want to thank you. We want to thank our guest again, Shay Marr, who is the executive director at Free Art for All. And just want to remind you, put some art in your life, whether it's fiber art, cinema, coloring, whatever it is. In these uncertain times, we need to see the beauty in art. So thank you for listening, and we will see you here next week at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.